saints. This is, like, as he said, Thanksgiving week. Plenty to be thankful about, amen? Amen. Y'all put some smile on your faces like you believe it. Amen. God has been good to us. He's been good to us, greater to us than we've been to ourselves. Bless us in so many ways. If you get your checklist out and you start writing pluses and minuses and start listing all the good that God has done for you, I guarantee you, the pluses are going to outweigh the negatives. Yeah, we got problems. Yeah, this is life. We're going to go through challenges and all that. But don't forget that there's the other side to everything, right? There's always another side of the coin. And we can always decide and choose to focus on what's good, what's true, what's honest, what's pure, what's no. Think on what? Bad things? No. Oh, good things. Think on good things. And so maybe, hopefully, we can just push our minds in those directions. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen, amen. We want to just welcome our visitors to be with us here at Green Bank Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us for the first time, for the very first time, would you raise your hand, please? All right, no first timers. All right. Well, welcome back. If you're back again, if you are visiting with us for the first time and just chose not to raise your hand, we have some information as you leave out, a packet of information, tell you a little bit about who we are, and give you a little bit of resources as well. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 16. Before I get into the message, I just want to remind you of something I said earlier. We're going to have a sermon series in December, and each week we're going to have this theme, Finding Joy in Unexpected Places, is a series, and we have some printouts kind of detailing each week what's going to happen. I want you to use this as a tool. Share it with somebody, give it to somebody, and let them know about it. Maybe make some copies and spread it around your neighborhood or whatever, but here's some tools and some things to be able to encourage people, and we're going to actually be talking about that a little bit on this morning. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions, and so we called him. And he said, give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. And I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job, people will welcome me into their homes. And he called in his master's debtors. To the first, how much do you owe? 900 gallons of olive oil. The manager said, quickly, take your bill and make it 550. To another, he said, 1,000 bushels of wheat. And he said, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. Amen. I want to look at a message entitled Creative for the Kingdom. Creatives for the Kingdom. Before we step into Luke 16, I want us to kind of look at the tension that Jesus is building through this story. He's speaking to his disciples who already believe in the kingdom. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. They believe in the kingdom, and yet they were often lacking urgency, much like we do. We believe this is the Lord's church. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the gospel. We believe in, you know, continuing to share it with others, but sometimes there's a lack of urgency. Sometimes we just kind of coast and do what we do. They love God, but they weren't always paying attention to the opportunities that were right in front of them. They weren't thinking creatively, intentionally, and especially weren't thinking sometimes eternally. And so Jesus tells them a story, tells us a story that would catch them and us off guard. A story with a character that you wouldn't expect to learn anything from, this shrewd manager. A story that forces people to think about what God is trying to say. And so let's look at this story. Matter of fact, before we look at the story, I want you to just think about your own life. Maybe some of you have gotten fired from your job at some point. All right? You ain't got to raise your hand. All right? I want you to put yourself in that space, even if you've never had that experience happen. Put yourself in that space. You've been working for a place. You need this paycheck. It's hard getting another job out there. And so they come to you and say, look, by the end of the week, that's it. And you find yourself in that dilemma because your mind is racing all over the place. What do I do? What do I do? And here I am at this work. This is the work I've done all my life. This is what I know. This is where I'm proficient at. Now, what do I do? And that's the tension that Jesus is trying to build right there. That's where he wants to kind of incite us and get our minds open right now to this story, because he needs us to put ourselves in it. He needs us to see ourselves in the story. Jesus shares about this man who all of a sudden he comes in and he's a steward. He's responsible. He's responsible for the books. He's responsible for the books. Right? He's got an office job. He's not out there on the field. He's not out there doing the hard labor. He's a book man. That's what he's good at. Everybody's good at something different. And here he is, and the manager, some of y'all say the master, the owner of this business comes and says, look, something's wrong with the books. You're in charge of it. You know what? I'm tired of this. But Friday is Wednesday. Friday, that's it. That's it. And so he's got a little bit of time in this story. He's got a little bit of time to figure out, what do I got to do? What do I have to do? And he's thinking, look at all the resources that I have right at my disposal right now. Think about on your job, if you're leaving, right, maybe there's sales lists. There's contact lists. There's client lists. Man, I'm going to take this with me because I need something to help me for the future, set me up for what's coming next. I don't know what's coming next. See, he had an eye-opening moment. Look in the story. He says that he had to confront himself and say, what can I do? He goes, I'm not strong enough to go out there in the field and do hard labor. I'm a book man. I've been in the office. I'm too ashamed. I'm too proud to go out on the street. I want you to see what Jesus is cooking right here. What Jesus is doing right now is getting us into this and putting ourselves into this predicament right now. There is a problem. There is a big problem going on in your life. And usually when the big problems come in our lives, that means we need some big solutions. That means we need some creative solutions. That means we need some out-of-the-box thinking. And what this man does, he does something illegal. I'm going to just tell you right now. He does something, and that's what makes this so weird. Why would Jesus highlight this man that's doing something illegal? He's not highlighting his illegality. He's not highlighting. Testing. It's on, lights on, everything's good up here, as far as I can tell. So he's not highlighting, there you go. He's not highlighting what he did wrong, right? He's not highlighting and saying that's a good thing he did it. He's saying, look at how clever he was in this situation. Look at how he found himself in this impossible predicament and how he got out of it. And how did he get out of it? He calls the man's creditors and says, hey, what does he owe you, 1,000? Let's make it 800. But what he's doing is he's preparing himself for the future, because I'm going to scratch your back, you're going to scratch my back. He's saying, I'm seeing my current circumstance, my current predicament, and all of a sudden now I've got to project. I've got to look
look forward to where this thing is going and all that. So I've got to take the resources, the current resources I have, and utilize them to the best of my ability to help me in what's coming next. And so he took those resources and he ingratiated himself to the other people to make sure that when I'm out on the street, you will remember I helped you. Can you help me? All right, so where are we going with this? Jesus makes the statement. The children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the children of light. Ouch. Christians, ouch. He's saying that the worldly people are shrewd. They're casting and looking out into the future and their future dilemmas and all that. They're looking at the resources they currently have. They're having out-of-the-box thinking. They're being creative. They're doing all these type of things in order to accomplish their goals and their mission and them climbing the ladder and them being able to attain great things and all that. But yet the people of God, we still doing church in 1960s. We still holding on to broken programs, irrelevant to today's times and today's the current things that are going on. We still trying to operate like grandmom's church. When what the Lord has called us to do is to take the resources that we have, and he's a creative God who calls us to creativity, to cause us to out-of-the-box thinking, to cause us to not just continuing to be complacent and doing the same things just because this is the same way we've always done it. See, right now, we're talking budget. Right now, we're projecting into the future. Budgets are projecting into the future, not just, well, let's just, we did this, that's what we always did. Let's just do the same thing again. No, this is time right now, ministry leaders, to start thinking, to start being creative, to start planning for what can be. For what can be. And what can be doesn't need to be. What can be doesn't need to be what is. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to preach a little today. What can be doesn't mean it needs to be what is today. And what always was. What is today wasn't always. They didn't have microphones. They didn't have PowerPoints. They didn't have, you know, this nice heated facilities that we have. They didn't have all of these things back then. We've progressed into that. We're a progressive church. What did he say? We're a progressive church. We need to be a progressive church. We need to be a progressive church. That means, I'm not talking about man's labels and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is we need to be advancing and growing and planning and thinking and moving into the future and understanding the culture that is around us and understanding the way they talk and where they walk and where they live and what applications they're on. And we need to try to figure out how to get into their worlds and all of that, because that's what God called us to do. Infiltrate culture, go into it, not be separatists, and we're not called to be out of this world. We're called to influence the world. I can't influence people I can't touch and I can't reach and I can't talk to. Jesus said it, and I'm going to say it in a different way. People who live for temporary things often put more thought, planning, and creativity into their goals than believers do for the eternal ones. Folks will work harder, plan harder, think harder for things that fade away, while oftentimes God's people, we drift and we stick on things. Jesus wasn't criticizing their character. Jesus isn't criticizing our character. He's criticizing our effort. He expects us to do something. He expects us to do more than the minimum. You remember that when he gave the parable of the talents and all that? At least, he said, at least you could have put it on deposit, which is a risk to put it in there and gain a little a bit of interest and all that. But at least, but there's risk involved. You got to do, but you got to do something. You can't just hide and do nothing. You got to do something with what I've given you and what I've placed in your hands. You got to do something with it. And so he calls us and he gives us and he blesses us and he gives us. Of course, when he talks about the talents, we weren't talking about, you know, gifts and all that. But he's saying everything, the money I've deposited in you, the resources that you have, use it for building the kingdom. Find creative ways of using it for building the kingdom. We'll get to that in a little bit. I want you to understand that once again, when this culture comes in, many times people think the church, the world, separate, that's it. And can I say, even if you think that way, has that ever really worked? Culture creeps into everything. Creeps into everything. Everything you do, the songs that we sing, the way we look at things, all it just does. It just does. But what we have to do is learn to utilize the good of things, right? To be like, look at what Paul says. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. That's Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul's saying, I've got to learn to adapt. I've got to learn that when I'm talking to a Jew, and we've been looking at this as we've been going and walking through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, that when he would talk to a Jewish a community, he would have to talk in a certain way. When he would talk to a Gentile community, he would have to talk in a different way. There was a connectedness he already had with the Jews. He understood them. They understood him. To the Gentiles, he had to come in, and every place he was, he had to understand the culture. He had to interact with them and learn and then use what was right there in front of him in order to do the same purpose, to carry out the gospel. And that's the key. Our mission stays the same, but how we carry out that mission changes from place to place and changes from time to time. I do not remember anybody sending any telegrams yesterday. Have you sent any telegrams lately? No. Messages by pigeon. Listen, we get upset if it takes more than 3 seconds for that message to send and you see come on, hurry up and go. No. We've adapted. Society, and when society adapts, we have to learn to filter out the good and the bad and not just throw everything out. There were times, many of you know, having PowerPoints was a fight in the church. What? Blackboard's always been good enough. Why would we put images up and then all these times? I mean, you know, there have been many fights. I'm sure we can talk and all about all things. But what Paul had to say is, look, there are sometimes I have to bend what I like for the like of everyone else. Sometimes I have to be adaptable and flexible and all of that and understand, you know, that all right, this isn't sin, and so we can be flexible in this area. And this isn't doctrine, and so we can be flexible in this area and all that. I'm not telling us to color outside the lines, if you understand what I mean. I'm saying, you know, if God has said it and it's true, and that's what we're going to hold to. That's what we always do, right? But we know there's a whole lot of stuff that's all this gray. Hello. There's all this gray that we fight about so much. Right? Paul says, look, I have to learn how to adapt and adopt to the people I'm talking to. And we have to do the same thing. Different situations, different approaches, same purpose, same mission. Preach the gospel, teach the word. And so today really is I'm sharing about being creative for the kingdom. This isn't the typical three-point message and all that kind of stuff. I want to just get into our minds a little bit. I want us to think beyond what is and what can be, right? We live in a culture now, and if we look around us right now, the church is dying around this world. Young people are not coming. And so it begs us, it makes us as leaders have to ask these questions. Because if the lights are going to stay on, if because I believe it's bigger than that. You know, don't get me wrong. I know I'm talking about lights and all that. That's something tangible that we understand and all that. But if we're going to still be in this business of saving souls and keeping souls saved and enhancing and enriching lives of people, then we've got to grow. We can't afford to die. We can't afford our light to go out in this community and all that. And so we've got to have an entrepreneurial mindset to everything that we do in life. Amen? I want to grow, and I want to think, and I want to look beyond what is to what can be. See, look at what is right now. This was a thought. This was a seed that was in the mind early. Green Bank and this, what we have right now is the fruition of a thought and a seed and an idea that was planted in our minds, and it came to fruition. What did that take? That took intentionality. That took vision. It took planning. It took thinking outside the box. There was, who were we going to call to say, help us to organize and figure out how to blend the black and white congregation and birth the Hispanic congregation? Who are we going to call for that? God. The vision he's planted in our hearts and our minds. And so I'm challenging us today. Today's a challenge message to say, think beyond. And I want to give some highlights, because I'm loving some things that I'm seeing. I'm looking at my brother in the back right now, security. We're looking at people. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel a little better being here, to know someone else has eyes. But that was a thought in someone's mind to say, look what can be. Look what we can do. Brother Mike has been, as I share with you, please share that this page. There's a QR code at the bottom. If someone clicks the QR code, it'll take them to the website. There's going to be a link sent you this week, asking you to also send this link out. There's a promotional video that we created because of the fact that Mike Phillips said, can you create a video? Welcome video. Push back on us to be creative and help others be creative. And so we created a video, a promotional video, that we're hoping that you will take and you will place in your timelines, in your Facebook, in your, you know, wherever you are, place that link in there. Recognize that evangelism isn't always just sitting down and all that. All these things are evangelism. And so we're thinking outside the box now. We're going, you know, a promotional video to us probably means nothing. You see and hear me all the time. You probably like, sit down already. I'm done. All right? But for somebody else, that's a word of encouragement. It's something they never seen, something they never heard. And so we can be a part of that. We can decide to be intentional about how we are. I want to go back to this the word real quick, because I know time is already, I already feel like I've been up here too long. But I need you to see something back in the text. Go back down to verse number 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted cleverly. All right? He said, look at you. Mm-mm-mm. You really got me. That's really what he was doing. It wasn't like, good job. No, it was like, wow, you really got me. And then he said, people who belong to this world are more clever in dealing with their peers than those who belong to the light. Verse 9, I tell you, use your worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves, that when it's gone, you will be welcome into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much. And to the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much.
If you look at those verses, those ending verses, really carefully, as it connects with everything that's been said, you'll probably read this a little bit differently. Because what he is calling us to do as Christians is say, is to be creative, is to take this story that just happened and for us to learn from it, right? What are we supposed to learn? That we too need to, when we find ourselves in these situations, the church is going on with, as we confront society and culture and all that, what are some ways that we're thinking outside the box? What are some ways we're utilizing the resources that God has right here at our disposal in order to do just that? Right? And I know we do a lot. We do a lot. So don't get me wrong. We are live streaming. That's part of it. That's part of it. But guess what? Can we do better? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can we be more effective in that ministry? Absolutely. And we've been doing it. And there's been changes bit by bit. It's brick by brick. You know, everything doesn't happen overnight. But we're progressing, and you've seen movement, and you see changes happening. The website, you see changes that are happening. We're trying to touch our society in a different way and have something that's better and more dynamic. And even within that, Brother Mike, he's been working with a team called Missional Marketing. And what they're trying to do is help us to get our search rankings higher. So when someone goes onto the internet, they click in there and it says, you know, you're looking for a church in Delaware. We want to be one of the first ones that pop up. And so if we want to have something that pops up, we need something nice so that when they click and go, well, let's go look at their website looks modern and fresh and good. We're making enhancements on the building, you know, and all that. Why? Because building improvements matter. When someone walks into a facility, you feel good when you walk into a place that's fresh and modern, and there's, you know, there's just a feeling about a place, but it's the feeling becomes because it was intentionally set in a certain way. And so we're making those innovations and those enhancements in the building. So we're not just throwing money to just for vanity's sake. No, there's purpose to everything that's happening. And so once again, I want to challenge our leaders. Think about your ministry. We've got quilters, beautiful ministry. How can we enhance the quilting? Maybe there's a way we can take the quilts and donate them to the children. Maybe put a Green Bank logo on it and with love from something. You know, I'm not going to give you all the answers. I'm just stimulating the mind a little bit. Hospice, yeah, absolutely. There's so many things, but we have to think beyond just this is what we've always done. This is the way it's always been. It's the way my mama did it, my grandmama did it, my papa did it. No, we're in a different culture. We're in a different time. We're in a different season. And if we continue just doing what it always was, hello, not me, not on my watch. Oh. And so I wanted to highlight every single thing. I don't think I'm going to have time to highlight everything, but let me just say like this. And I've used this story before. I heard a preacher that told this story about a woman who had been praying for her husband to finally come to the Lord. And you've heard me say, some of you heard me say this story before, but some of you, this will be new. And she was praying for her husband to come to church. And finally, one Sunday, I mean, years, this man has been dead set against anything with God. And something happened in his life. And that Sunday, he said, you know what? I'm going to go to church with you today. And this wife, I mean, she's overjoyed now. Like, my prayers are being answered. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to go to church. Then there was some fear also. Because as she's in that car and she's driving to church, she said, man, I hope the parking lot attendant is friendly, has a smile on his face. My husband's not used to coming to church, so I hope they make him feel good. I hope that when he walks in the door that someone greets him and he doesn't just feel out of place. I hope that when he comes in that The singing is good. I hope that when he comes in, that the bathroom facilities and all that smell well and good and all that. I hope that we give him no reason to look down at us as a people for not being the people we're supposed to be. I've walked in as a minister without announcing I'm a minister, and walked into places, churches, and hadn't got more of a glance of an eye from some people. She's praying and hoping for all of that. I'm hoping that the message is a relevant message, that it's a biblical message, that it's that I hope that the giving isn't so focused on all these things, and that they're not passing around 10 offerings and all that. And I can go on a little bit. I can talk a little bit. Y'all know that, right? All right. But the key is, do you see how everything's connected? Everything's connected. I hope that the Sunday school teacher doesn't reprimand my child in a harsh way. I hope that there's love that's being given and shown and shared. I hope that the Bible school teacher is prepared. I hope. I want to challenge you to dream a little bit. I want to challenge you to dream in your ministry a little bit. I want to challenge you to maybe dream up some ministries. Now, I'm not saying let's just haphazardly slap something together for the sake of let's do something new and all that. I'm saying if, you know, there's something burning within you. There's something that you know that man, God has uniquely gifted you to be able to do. How can we use that for God's glory? This is what's in your hands. This is what's at your disposal right now. And this is what God's not calling you to act like me or to be me. God's calling you to be the best you can be. And to utilize the things that are at your disposal in a unique way for the same purpose of carrying out his mission. His mission must be accomplished. And we're privileged enough to be able to carry it out. Lord, help us. Help our youth to recognize it's not just old people. Hello. I'm considering myself old now. All right. It's not just us old people that need to be out here opening our mouths, but you too can be a mouthpiece for the Lord. You on your college, the DJ, you can be a sharing the message of Jesus Christ with somebody. You can send a text of encouragement to someone. We can go out there and be posting stuff about the Lord and all that. Maybe we even wearing some clothing. I think a brother Mark Bracefield and Sister Bracefield, they create this merchandise. Maybe buy some stuff from them to say, look, and have that, start conversations with people and let people know about who we are. Take the posts and all that and put them out on your page. And instead of always just sharing about the political stuff that's going on in this world, let's share about Jesus. Encourage somebody. Crystal has a couple of texts in the morning and stuff like that they send out to each other and all that. Don't add me to them groups. Don't add me to them groups, okay? But some people like that. Some people like that. And they get a text every morning from all these people. I don't like that. Please don't send it to me. All right, like that. All right. I got too much already to filter through all that. But you see what I'm saying, though? No, but find what connects. And be an encourager. And be a servant. And be intentional. And be creative. And let's think about what can be. Not always what just is. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask you to open our minds to what can be, to what can be in our homes, to what can be in the church, to what can be in this community, and in our personal lives, Lord. We'll soon be entering into a new year. In just another month or two. And Father, we recognize that's a new opportunity. That's a time for new ways of thinking, new projections, Help us, Lord, to open our minds to what can be. Help us, Lord, to always be striving to look for different ways, different opportunities that we can be able to share your word. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us, Father, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I also wanted to highlight that on Monday, my brother Roy had set up for us to talk to another team about ways we can communicate with one another through some of these applications a little more effectively. And so we're looking forward to seeing what's going to come in the future. But maybe there's somebody here today, and you're looking forward to your future. What's going to come of your future? All of us at some point are going to have to stand before the throne of God. All of us are going to have to give an account. Have you surrendered and given your life and placed your life in Jesus' hands? Are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you now been cleansed? Have you been forgiven of your sins? On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter got up and he preached a message, the gospel message. And at the very end of it, there were people that asked this question. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." He's letting them know that what they needed to do is first come to this point of surrender. They've got to repent, decide to turn from self, turn to the Lord. And then after that, to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And at that point, we're going to receive this great gift of salvation. You'll receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're ready to receive that great blessing and be added now to his church, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of him.